This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد my brothers and sisters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جل جلاله وعما نواله جل شانه sent us for a purpose which he declared as follows. He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ In Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I, Allah, have not created the jinn and the humans except that they should worship me alone. By worship, it means obey also. The foundation of ibadah, of worship, is the attitude of ubudiyyah, the attitude of bondage, which is the result of a state of the heart called At-Taqwa. Taqwa is to be concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters because we love Him and look forward to our return to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared and commanded, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ He said, O believers, be mindful of Allah, have taqwa of Allah in the way that is His right, haqqa tuqati, that He deserves, that is His right. And do not die except in a state of full submission to Him, Jalla Jalalu. I remind myself and you, the issue with rights is that if we do not fulfill them, we are liable to be questioned. The question is, how can we have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we know Him? We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two ways. One, by reflecting on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself so that His awe and majesty permeates our hearts and the noor of His khashiyah drives away all darkness. Nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He introduced Himself. I remind myself and you, and I invite you and myself to reflect on the different places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself in His glory and majesty in the Quran. For example, Ayat al-Kursi. For example, the last ayat of Surah al-Hashr. For example, on Surah al-Ikhlas. For example, the beginning of Surah al-Mulk. And so on and so forth, Surah al-Rahman and so on and so forth. We are already familiar with these ayat. Let us reflect on how our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu described Himself. And think about this and say that every single one of His glorious names and attributes, His asma wa sifat that He chose to mention, is designed to comfort and support us that we are the slaves of the one who is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and He is in complete and total control of our entire lives. That is what we must reflect on and appreciate and work to strengthen our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla chanu. We also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our experience of His blessings in our lives. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His blessings on us in many places in the Quran. Please read them and reflect on them. Imagine life for insomniacs, for example. Imagine living as a homeless person through the winter in the shade of a shop awning or in the New York subway tunnel. They live there because the tunnels are heated, but the rails that they sleep next to are electrified. So in your sleep, if you turn over and your hand or leg touches the rail, goodbye. Before they go to bed, these homeless people who live in the subways, they need dinner. Guess where they get that from? In the garbage bins of NoHo and SoHo and Hudson Yards and Greenwich Village and Billionaire's Row. I asked a New Yorker about this, and he said, I said, why? He said, because the best garbage is in the most expensive districts. Now, when your imagining session is over, take a look in the mirror and remind yourself, and I remind myself, that the only thing that separates you and me from the person eating out of the garbage bin is the mercy of Allah. There is no difference between me and that person eating out of the garbage bin, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to put me in that position. We need to do some very serious personal reflection in our lives to see which of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings we enjoy the most and what life would be without that. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very privately, very personally and very sincerely for these blessings. My brothers and sisters, give yourself time to reflect. Time for tadabbur and tafakkur. We cannot keep leading our checklist lives on treadmills that we are terrified to get off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this life nothing but deception. As technology develops, the ability to deceive develops and gets weaponized. Anyone who doesn't reflect, who doesn't think, who doesn't take charge of his own life is the victim. There are no neutral positions in this game. No spectators, no armchair critics. You are in the game. We are all in the game. I want to recite for you a poem that I wrote this morning. And the title of the poem is, "We know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted." We know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By the rays of the sun, by the light of the moon, by the vast empty space and the stars that live therein, by the rain and the snow that helps our gardens grow, by the trees, by the fruits, by joys and sorrow. We know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By the flowers in spring, by the dew on the rose, by the summer, by the color of fall, the herald of winter. By the music of the brook as it plays on the rocks, by dark skies, by falling stars, by wisdom, by stupidity. We know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By the rain to give life, by sunshine likewise, by the dewdrop on the thorn in the light of the dawn, by the fire of sunset as it lights up another land, by the bugle of the stag, by the beating of my heart, we know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By dreams that came true, by dreams unfulfilled, by prayers answered sometimes in unexpected ways, by prayers unanswered, for which we thank you today. By parents, by siblings, by children, especially teenagers, we know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By the silence of the forest, at the grandeur of mountains, by the depth of the ocean hiding treasures unknown, by the fish, by the birds, by the black-capped chickadee, by the cardinal in the snow, by the waiting blue heron, we know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By the marlin as he rises on his tail and throws the hook, by the song of the loon on the night of the full moon, by the storm, by the typhoon, by COVID and still being alive, by waking every morning, by sleeping every night, we know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. By a future that looks dark, promising dawn very bright. By our values, our compassion, our courage, by Islam. By those who lift us when we fall and fight for us when we can't. By knowing you, loving you, thanking you and worshipping only you. We know you, O Allah, by your bounties uncounted. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that we are all in the game. You are in the game, I'm in the game. The game called life. There are no spectators. We are in the game either as pawns and victims or as conscious players and masters. The choice is ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined our situation very clearly and he said, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawma al-qiyamah faman zuhzi'a 'anil nari wa udkhila al-jannata faqad faz وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every soul will taste death, and you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. Whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into Jannah will indeed triumph, whereas the life of this world is no more than the delusion of enjoyment. I remind myself and you that the winner is decided only at the end of the race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the race, the criterion of winning, and the trap. The race is called life. It will end when we die, which is the Qiyamatul Sughra, the small day of judgment for us. The criterion of winning is to be protected from Jahannam and granted entry into Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of us. The trap is the life of this world. We know, so now we must act. If one is not aware and falls into a trap, it is understandable. But if one knows the trap, he can recognize it but still walks into it, then he is responsible for his own fate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ourselves. The trap is very elaborate and deceptive. It is aided by society that we have created, where we constantly mention and praise and extol the trap and those who are the bait. They call them influencers, I call them bait, because one who influences you to fall into a trap is the bait. Monitor your conversation for one day. We will answer for what we chose. Our conversations. Ask yourself, what do you speak about and hear the most? What do you watch? What do you watch? For most of us, apart from the Quran that we listen to in Salah, there is almost no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. The rule of life is that what you mention assumes importance, and vice versa. What you don't mention goes away from our consciousness. As for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no mention of him and his life, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us as a guide, except when we listen to a khatira in the masjid. Add up all this time. 5 salahs. Take 10 minutes per salah if you like. Time yourself and see how long it takes. Take 10 minutes for salah, 50 minutes. Plus khatira, 5 minutes. You still have 5 minutes of change in 1 hour. When we add up the total mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives in 24 hours, we are left with minutes, not hours. For the rest of the day, we are talking about or listening to talk about work and politics and sports and the share market and the glory of billionaires, and may Allah protect us, for some of us, backbiting and slandering. Our minds therefore are conditioned to be in awe of money and power and those who have it, and not in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Our role models are billionaires. We don't care or look at anything about them other than their net worth. It doesn't even matter to us that the money they have is ephemeral and illusory and not real and concrete. It is their portfolio value, subject to the rise and fall of the share market, which is the biggest illusion in the world. It is based on investor sentiment and not even on asset value or the kind of business or management or sales or anything which can be seen and measured. The latest in this whole gamut of imaginary wealth is Bitcoin, a sequence of numbers which someone told you has value, something which you can't use to buy anything useful and which you must convert to cash before you can use it by finding someone dumber than you are to take it off your hands at a profit. Is there anything that illustrates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called mata'ul ghurur better than this? If you don't believe me, ask Warren Buffett what his opinion is about Bitcoin. He doesn't own any. That should tell us something, right? So which camp are we in? We need to assess and take action before the malaika come, before the angels come. To know which camp you are in, ask yourself where you feel most impatient. In dhikrullah, in listening to the Quran in Taraweeh, in a khatira or lecture on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, or watching a basketball or soccer or cricket or watching whatever sport you have, that match. The truth is easy to see but difficult to swallow. But on the Day of Judgment, it is only the truth which can save us. This is our modern culture, and the result of it is stress and depression and despair and suicide. While the culture of Rasulullah and the Sahaba found comfort and support in the dhikr of Allah. Salah was the coolness of their eyes, Quratul Ain. The Quran was their resource, and reading it and listening to it was their joy. They were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while we have lost that connection. To lose that connection is to lose everything. As they say, if you lose everything but have Allah, what have you lost? And if you gain everything but lose Allah, what have you gained? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to allow our connection with Him to be weakened or severed. This won't happen only by wishing for it. We must work on it constantly to ensure that it always remains strong. Now, if you want to know what somebody considers important, what somebody values and enjoys, see what they spend the most time on. See where they spend the maximum amount of their time. The average person, as I mentioned to you today, spent up to 6 hours a day on social media. Lionel Messi and Ronaldo spend 4 to 5 hours a day, 6 days a week training and practicing their game because they think it is important for them. That's how they make their billions. Kobe Bryant used to spend 6 hours a day, 6 days a week for 6 months in his off-season training. So we can safely say that these gentlemen love their game and consider it important. Now, as I mentioned before, let us see how much time we spend with Allah. Taking an average of 10 minutes per salah and a 5-minute khatira at the end of the day, you still have 5 minutes change left over from 1 hour. Do we think this is enough to get into Jannah? I remind myself anew that peace of mind is tawakkul, which is the reward of taqwa. When the slave knows Allah, he relies on Him, and that frees him from all fear. Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever has taqwa of Allah, He Jalla Jalaluhu will make a way for him to get out of every difficulty. And He will provide him from sources that he could never imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah, then He will be sufficient for him. Khashyatullah plus shukr equals taqwa, which is the reward. The reward of which is tawakkul. Let us assess our progress in deen. Do I have khashyatullah? Proof of khashyatullah is obedience of Allah by following the method, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This life is a journey and a test. We must constantly assess ourselves to see how we are doing and make course corrections. It doesn't matter how wrong we may be from time to time, as long as we return to the Siratul Mustaqim by making istighfar and tawbah. So let us take stock. It begins with knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflecting on His blessings and thanking Him for everything and loving Him until you love Him more than anyone and anything else. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a part and measure of our iman. It is not optional or discretionary. It is the very essence of being a Muslim. You cannot love a stranger. That is why we must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflect on His glory and majesty, remember His blessings and thank Him for them constantly. That is how we will be able to love Him Jalla Shanu. That is what differentiates us from everyone else, because we love Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. He said, but those who believe love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And he said in another place in Surah Tawbah in a different tone, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, say, if your fathers, your sons, meaning your sons and daughters, your brothers, meaning your brothers and sisters, your wives, meaning wives and husbands, your kindred, your family, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His decision of torment and punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide people who are al-fasiqoon, who are rebellious and disobedient to Allah. Once the mu'min has accepted this, that the love of Allah supersedes everything and everyone else, then he submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total and complete trust. Trust is the result of knowledge about the power and glory of Allah, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control and wishes the best for us and has the capability to deliver it. That is the essence of a tawheed. The thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills our heart with His awe and His majesty, and reflecting on His bounty fills our heart with gratitude. With that we submit. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim alayhi salam, when his Rabb said to him, Jalla Jalaluhu, submit, that is, be a Muslim, he said, I have submitted myself as a Muslim to the Rabb of the Alameen, Rabb of the worlds. This is the position, the stance and the status of the Muslim. I have submitted. Inni aslamtu. Not I will submit. I have submitted. And then you see the effect of tawakkul. Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua when he left his infant son and his wife, our mother Hajar alayhi salam, in the barren valley of Makkah. He says, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in inda baytika al-muharram rabbana liyuqimu as-sala faj'al af'idatan minan nas tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum min ath-thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. Allah said, O our Rabb, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house, the Kaaba at Makkah, in order, O our Rabb, that they may establish a salah. That they may establish a salah, iqamati salah. So fill some hearts among men with love towards them, and O Allah, provide them with fruits so that they may give thanks. Now think about this dua. You don't hear any panic in it or uncertainty or fear in the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he knows who he is dealing with. I can imagine that he must have actually been excited and thrilled at what he had been asked to do. And that is why he has no anxiety about the safety of his family. His dua shows total trust, which is why he is not even asking for safety and protection for them. He is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use them for His work, to give them influence and the power of leadership. And he's asking them for tertiary benefits, fruits. He's not asking them for bread and butter. That they will survive is a given. There is no doubt about that. After all, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, took them there because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do that. So how can they perish? That is why when you encounter those who have tawakkul, it is as if you are watching someone who is in another world marching to a different tune that only he or she can hear in their heart. And therefore, I remind myself and you, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to seek only His pleasure and to dedicate our lives to the only thing which matters, His obedience in the way of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmat rahim.